All right, how's everybody doing? We hanging in there so far today? Good, a couple in the head, nods. We're just super excited. This is a really great day. That's such a privilege and an honor for me to be a part of that. So thanks to those families and thanks to you all for being a part of what I really believe is a really special day in the life of our church. Today we are also in week number 3 of a series called Unmasked. And no, this is not a series about COVID face masks or mask mandates, but yes, it is a series all about the masks that we do wear in our everyday lives, I believe, to hide pieces of who it is that we really are. We have said throughout this series that Adam and Eve, way back in the garden, they were the first ever to feel somewhat ashamed and afraid because of what they had done. And so they made a decision then and there from the very beginning to cover up and to hide because of it. And what I have been kind of suggesting to you throughout this series, Unmasked, is that we all, in one way or another, we all have been hiding too ever since. Right? Adam and Eve made a decision there in the garden when they realized they had done something wrong to cover up and to hide. And I would argue that we all, in some way or another, have been hiding ever since. When we too have done something wrong, or maybe even when something wrong has been done to us, when something isn't quite right, or when we feel exposed or ashamed or embarrassed or unsure or afraid, typically, I think this is something we all do, typically we find a way to hide and to cover up, right? We hide behind an appearance that is ultimately not true of us, that ultimately is not true of who it is that we really are. And I think, and this is really where this series, what you came from, I think that decision to hide, to cover up, to put on an appearance or a facade that is really not true of who we are, I think it's doing a lot of damage to the person that God created us to be and to the relationships that ultimately we want to enjoy and that God wants us to enjoy as well, right? You ever have friends or family in your life and you feel like, you know, shouldn't we be like closer than we are? Like what is it that is like getting in the way? Why does it feel like there's still something between us? I would suggest that it's these masks and these appearances and these facades that we wear. Everyone is hiding from everyone, okay? And putting on a happy face or some other kind of face or some other kind of appearance that may not be true of who they really are or how they are really doing in the moment. And it's actually William Shakespeare, right? Leave it to him to put this into words. It's William Shakespeare who I think so perfectly describes what is so unnatural and even maybe so unfortunate about this hiding that we do behind a mask. Here's what he writes. William Shakespeare writes, "God hath given you one face, and you make yourselves another." Okay, why do we do that? Right? God has given us one true self, and yet we constantly feel the need to kind of create for ourselves or fashion for ourselves another. And I don't want us to do that anymore. I don't want us to present to anyone in our life any face or any appearance or any part of us other than who it is that we really are, okay? But that is, you know, I think where, you know, real life and freedom and relationship is found, okay? But instead, it seems like so many of us present ourselves with a mask on or an appearance on, never really knowing. I think this is why we put a mask on, because we never really know if we can truly trust God or others with who it is that we really are, okay? That's a little snapshot of this series so far. If you're just joining us for the first time today. And so today, here's what I want to do. I want to suggest one thing. We've talked about a few things that I think can help us kind of overcome or come out from behind these masks, but I want to suggest one thing today that I think can help chip away at those masks. Or in fact, I think it's the one thing that could very well position us if we really kind of sink our teeth into this. I think it's the one thing that could really position us to never even need to reach for a mask again in the first place, to never even feel the need to reach for something to cover up or to hide. Wouldn't that be freeing, to never be in a position to feel like there's something that I need to hide from others? I think that'd be freeing, okay? And so that's a little bit of what I want to talk about today. And in honor of Valentine's Day. Perhaps you won't be all that surprised at what I'm about to suggest that it is that could put us in that position, that could help chip away at the masks that we wear. It's something that is a real gift to us, and it all has to do with this little thing called love. Okay? And I think if we could have like a little back and forth here using song titles only, I would start in reference to my message here today, I would start by saying, all you need is love, to which I think you would most likely respond, what's love got to do with it? Okay? And that would be a really great question for you to ask. What's love got to do with it? And so that's the question that I'd like to try to answer. In doing so, I'm not suggesting today some kind of warm and fuzzy, like Cupid and hearts and you know, Valentine's Day kind of love. It's something deeper than that. I think it's something really more than that. In fact, there is an important component. There's an important piece to this thing called love that I think too many of us have kind of moved on from too fast. I think this is an important part of this thing called love that too many of us have maybe just kind of like completely bypassed. Too many of us don't quite get this right. And I think it's important that we get this right because it's kind of square one. Right, when we dive in a little deeper, which we will in a second here, I think we're going to discover that it's kind of square one. And so when we don't get this right from the start, I think everything else that comes after it just gets a little bit funky, gets a little bit out of whack. When this part of love isn't right up here or in here for us from the start, I think it has a way of kind of short-circuiting everything else that we do, even the things that we do with the best of intentions. Because we all do things every day with the best of intentions because we want to be as good and great a people as we can. But when we don't get this one part of love right, I think it short circuits everything that follows. And that gets my attention for one. Because so many of us, this is what I was alluding to, so many of us, especially Christians, especially those of us who know and follow Jesus, we want to get this thing called love right. We know we're supposed to get this love thing right. We know we're supposed to be loving and right, and we're trying, right? We're working our tails off to love one another the way that we think that we are supposed to, the way that God, you know, told us to love one another. But what that looks like for most of us most of the time is it pretty much looks like doing love, right? We're trying to be loving or to give love away. We're trying to give of ourselves because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to, you know, God wants us to be a good person, right? Right? So we just kind of do our way through love. And that's all well and good and right to a degree. But I'm willing to guess that for any of you in this boat that feel like you're just kind of give, feeling like love is something that you do, I'm willing to guess that there are times in your life where something still feels off, right? Where you're doing, loving, but something still feels empty. Something still feels stuck or bogged down in everyday life or an everyday relationship, okay? And so you give to everyone around you and you love, you know, like you think you're supposed to. And yet at times you would acknowledge that you don't always feel the fullness of life or don't always feel the fullness of the relationships that you thought you would as a result of all this love that you've got to offer. And that's what I would say is because love is not just only an action. Love is not just something that we do, or at least I would say that real love's origin and its power and its effectiveness in our lives and in our relationships, it does not come from what we do. It's something entirely different. And I believe there is someone here today whose life might be changed or might be changed for the better or changed for eternity when they truly comprehend real love and where it comes from and where its real power and effectiveness lies. And so that's what I'm going to show you today, to pull apart this thing called love or to discover its origin, to discover its effectiveness in our lives and in our relationships. And so to do that, I'm going to have with you, look with me at a book in the New Testament called 1 John chapter 4. In a moment, you'll see it up here on the side screens. But very quickly, just to give you kind of a snapshot of what's happening here, John, who wrote this, he actually penned this letter himself. John, too, was a pastor, and he himself actually planted churches as well in parts of Ephesus, which today would be like modern day Turkey. Just to give you some context on him and why he's writing, the reality is that while some churches at that time, like ones planted by Paul and Barnabas, right? We all know about the Apostle Paul, right? Churches like those were like exploding and gaining in notoriety that we still speak of today, right? Paul and Barnabas' church in Antioch sent out some missionaries and leaders of, you know, who we very well might recognize today. Okay, but the church that John led, in actuality, it struggled a little bit and would eventually kind of disappear into history with very little heritage and very little records or fame that some other churches had with them. Nonetheless, okay, it was this community that John was pastoring. It was this community that John was trying to lead and trying to shepherd through the landscape of the first century world, which was honestly pretty gnarly. This whole Jesus following thing at this time, it was still pretty fresh. Okay, so people are looking to guys like John to lead them through this whole thing. And so while John might not be known or remembered as like a really, you know, successful pastor, he is remembered as being a very, very faithful pastor, faithfully steering and faithfully guiding and encouraging his people in this whole new deal called following Jesus, okay? And that's his aim here. John's focus in this part of his letter is that his people, and ultimately that you and I as well, would fully understand what really does inspire and what really does empower our love for one another. Here's what he writes. He says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God." Okay, if I stop here, it's passages like these that tell us, yes, we are supposed to, right? It is, you know, God's command for us to love one another and to be loving toward others. And I'm not suggesting today that we get like a pass on this. As I try to point us in a different direction, I'm not saying we get a pass on this. Yes, we are supposed to love one another. And so many of us work really hard at doing that as best we can. I just want us to see today, we have to understand where it is that love really comes from and what actually gives it the power to do what we hope it would in our relationship with God or in our relationship with other, okay? John says it comes from God. Later, he says what famously in the Bible, it tells us that God is love. Okay, skip down to verse 9. Here's what he continues to write. And he says, "And God showed us how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him." And so if we stop again, we just got to notice that God showed us his love. He demonstrated his love for us. And so many of us, this is what I'm trying to say today, so many of us, especially those of us who follow Jesus, we're so quick to do the same, just to get to the showing and to the demonstrating and to the doing. Right? God showed, God demonstrated by sending his son for us. And so many of us are so quick to get into the showing and the doing and the demonstrating ourselves. And I would say, you know, yes, great, but not so fast, right? We can't run the risk of putting the cart before the horse, as they say. And so here's what I want us to listen to. Because for you and me, here's what I want us to hear. Listen to verse 10. He continues to write, "This, however," right? He says, "this is real love." Pay attention to this. "Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." Do you catch that? Okay, he says it. This is real love. And it's not that we loved, but that he loved. That God loved, right? Real love, John says, is not about what we do, but about what God did. You may be surprised, I would guess, to learn that this mask-melting gift that I'm talking about today, that this gift of love, it's not necessarily learning to love more or to love better. That's what we like to do in life. Just get better at it. Just do more of it, right? This gift of love that I think puts us in the great position, right, to enjoy the relationships with God and others that he wants, right? This gift of love, it's not about learning to love more or to love better. In God's world, here's what we need to understand. Receiving comes before giving. In God's world, receiving comes before giving. We want so much to do something, right? Because so many of us find value and we find so much worth only in what we do or what we achieve or what we accomplish. But most of us, I would argue, most of us have never been taught how to let something, and I think there's someone that needs to hear this, right? Most of us have never been taught how to let something be done to us. We find so much value in doing and performing and achieving. It's all about what we could do, but most of us have never really, truly learned how to let something be done to us. And so instead, we just do. Love. Give. Perform. Achieve. Afraid that perhaps we might not be doing enough, that there is more for us to do or show or prove or demonstrate to enjoy life and relationship to the full. And yet here's what I wish we knew. Listen to how this ends in verses 18 and 19. John writes, such love, this real love that he's talking about that comes from God, he says, such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. And if we are afraid, it is not for it is for fear of punishment, right? He says, if we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love, right? If we fear punishment or if we fear inferiority, if we fear imperfection or fear something else, fear we haven't done enough, then I know from experience how most of us operate. We try to just achieve or perform our way out of it. Okay, we try to overcompensate, and yet ironically, if we could be honest, we're never really satisfied. We can never really do enough. We can never really prove enough or perform enough or achieve enough or love enough. And that's not to say that we're not responsible for loving others. There's just something we have to understand. Here's how he concludes in verse 19. We love each other, he writes, because he first loved us. Yeah, we gotta be about the love that God has called us to for one another. We love each other because he first loved us. Ultimately, Mid-Current, we have to learn how to love, right? Love unleashes its power in our lives only when we first learn how to receive love from God or from others, right? We love each other because he first loved us, right? Genuine love, I believe. Genuine love that we're talking about, this kind of real love that John is writing about. I do not believe that it can be exhibited in any community or in any relationship or in any marriage or in anything else unless it is empowered from the beginning by an experience of being loved first. We've got to learn to let something be done to us. Genuine love in any church community, in any family, in any relationship, in any marriage, in any friendship, it cannot be exhibited unless it is empowered by an experience of being loved. And so here's the bottom line, I think, for us today, okay? We cannot express fully love that we do not experience fully. Right? So many of us, we want to jump quick to the showing, to the doing and the expressing and the performing and the achieving and our intentions are good. But I do not believe that we can express fully love that we have not first experienced fully. Right? We can't extend it if we don't allow ourselves to accept it. Okay? We can try to love people and we can make love only an action in our everyday life. We can do this until we are blue in the face, okay? But if we don't experience or we don't allow ourselves to fully be loved first and foremost, then we are robbing ourselves of the fullness of the gift that love is really meant to be in our lives. We're robbing ourselves of the gift that love really is meant to be. And so what I want to do here is I want to finish. I want to try to be as practical as I can for anybody who's saying, hey, I'd like to figure out how I can kind of open myself up to accepting or to experiencing love a little bit more. I'm going to try to finish as practically as I can. There's a few suggestions that I think that you may need to wrestle with when it comes to receiving love or allowing yourself to be loved or just learning how to be loved from the start. There are a few suggestions. The first would be this. You have to understand you have needs, right? We all do. And I think the first step in this is you have to understand that you do have needs. The unfortunate thing about the world that we live in today is that most people see needs as what? Weaknesses. Okay, we have no problem admitting that we need, you know, oxygen to breathe and food to survive, but to have a need for acceptance or attention or security, right? Well, that's just a huge sign of weakness. Okay, and as long as this is the way that we see a need as a weakness, what are we gonna do? We'll just hide our needs and we'll just cover up our limitations and we'll call it self-reliance. Okay? Or we'll pretend that we have no needs at all and we'll call it independence. Or we just believe that no one should ever have to meet our needs and we'll call it strength. Or we think if we could just get more spiritual, then we could outgrow our needs and we call that maturity. Okay? But here's the truth. No matter how you dress it up, I don't need you is the language of a wounded heart. No matter how you try to dress it up, maturity, independence, self-reliance, strength, to look at God or to look at others and say, I don't need you is the language of a wounded heart. Is it possible that this describes you in any way today? If so, I want to just encourage you, right, to be okay, right? To understand that you do have needs and that really is okay. It's actually okay. It's a good thing. But here's the second thing I want to suggest. Number two, you have to realize that having needs met, if we'd actually allow that to happen, admit we have needs, right? And then allow them to be met. You have to realize that having needs met is actually experiencing love, which is what we're trying to get at here, right? And this is significant, right? Why? Because we cannot express love fully to God or to a spouse or to kids or to friends, right? You cannot express love fully if you do not experience love fully or let yourself to be loved fully, right? God created us with needs to be met. And if you think about that, the very next question could be, why would he do that? I mean, why would he not just create us to be some kind of like invincible machine that doesn't have any needs that need to be met? Why would he do that? He created us with needs to be met. Why would that be a part of our original design? Because without needs, we cannot experience love. We cannot ever know that we are being loved. Right? Think about it. This table here, this table has no need for love. Okay, I might say that I love this table. And if I'm being honest with you, I really do, actually. I'm being serious here. I remember buying these tables. We have five black bistro, you know, like counter height tables. I remember buying these, right, a little over 3 years ago, thinking these are gonna be so perfect for this church building that we are meeting in. These tables, I love these tables. I remember them showing up to my house and setting them up and going, oh, these are perfect. I love these things. But this table will never know of my love for it. Okay? The table has no capacity for love. Needs give us the capacity to feel love. And that's not weak, that's not immature, it's not girly, it's not some sign of inferiority, it's human, okay? And it allows us to have a need met, to feel it, to acknowledge it, and to let someone meet it for us is to experience love that will provide the fuel then for every other important relationship that we have that we want love to be at the center of. It will be the fuel, right? Because we cannot express fully love that we have not experienced fully. If we can't identify our needs, we cannot know love. If we deny the needs we have, we'll never experience love. And if we withhold our needs, we cannot receive love that others have for us that they may be longing to give to us. And if we do not know and experience this love, we'll be stuck with open wounds that will not heal, and our needs will go unmet, and frankly, we'll just become unhappy people. So let's not be unhappy people any longer, right? Having needs met is a good thing. It is how we experience love. We will only enjoy the love that we allow. Okay, finally, here's number three. I think you have to admit that you actually do desire to be loved. I think we all do deep down inside, but the reality is love is a risk. I mean, love is a real risk. I think we all do wish, if we could just be honest, deep down inside, I think we all really do wish to be loved by God, by someone else, but we're convinced, I think there's this nasty lie. I think that we're convinced if God or if people really knew us, I mean, if they really knew us, if I really took off this mask, if I really kind of, you know, stepped out from behind this appearance that I'm putting on, I think we're convinced that if God really knew us or if other people really knew us, they really wouldn't or they really couldn't love us after all. We want to be loved, but I think we're afraid, man, if they really knew me, they really couldn't love me. I know I have to fight hard every day to overcome that kind of vicious lie. Man, that if people really knew me, they couldn't love me like they maybe thought they really did. Okay, I gotta fight that lie every single day, and I suspect that there are others of you that have to fight off the same lie, right? And when that's how we feel, what do, right? We creatively fashion masks and clean-cut appearances with, you know, with certain mannerisms and clever responses, all ingeniously designed to present someone that we think is worthy of being loved, or it's designed to convince ourselves that we really have no need to be loved in the first place. Midcurrent, for those of you that are here today, for those of you that are maybe joining us online right now from who knows where, I think it's time for us to just allow ourselves to be loved, right? To receive love, to actually put ourselves in a position to experience love. And we cannot be fully loved. We cannot be fully loved if we are not fully known. You catch that, right? We cannot be fully loved if we are not fully known. We have to trust God and we have to trust others with who it is that we really are. This summer, I was out on a run and I was listening to a podcast and I heard this quote by a pastor and author named Timothy Keller. I remember where I was, and when I first heard it, I almost just had to kind of like stop in my tracks and hit the like back 15-second button to listen to it again and again and again. When I first heard it, it knocked me off my feet, and I think it really speaks precisely to what it is I'm getting at here today. And so I want to leave it with you as we close. Here's what he writes. You can follow along with me on the screen. He says, "To be loved but not known is comforting, but superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God." Isn't that true? Right? To be loved but not known is comforting, but superficial. Man, we all have people in our lives. You know, oh, we got friends. I love you. It's so great. We hang out after work and yeah, come over for dinner. And I just loved it. I love that we're friends, right? It's all good. But if you're honest, like you don't know anything about each other. Like it doesn't really go past like that. It's just fun to hang out after work. It's comforting, but it's superficial. The flip side, right? To be known, to let somebody in, and to actually have them reject us, To be known and actually have someone go, no, I actually don't think I'm gonna choose to love you in this moment. My goodness, is that not our greatest fear? To let somebody in and have them go, no, thank you. But to be fully known and to be truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God. Friends, God knows the depths of our hearts, the good, the bad, and the ugly. He knows it all. He sees it all. God knows the depths of our hearts, and he still loves us the same, and he still calls us by name. And he showed us how much he loved us by sending his son Jesus into the world so that through Jesus we might live with him perfectly and for all of eternity. And we too have been called to love one another, right, as Christ has loved us. But we love each other because God first loved us. God is love, and it starts with him, and it comes from him. We cannot express fully love that we do not experience fully. We cannot give away what it is that we have not received. So let me ask you a question. Would you receive God's love today? Would you let it sink in today in a way that you never have before? You've heard about it. You know about it. You're all, you know, in for it. But would you let it sink in today? Would you embrace it and experience it today in a way that you never have before, choosing today to trust God and to trust others with who you really are? Or maybe for you the question is this: would you receive God's love maybe for the first time ever? Right? God loves you just the way you are. And he sent his son to pay a penalty ultimately that you and I deserve to pay on our own. But he sent his son Jesus to take care of it. And he was longing for you to receive that gift of his love, to raise your hand and to say yes to a relationship with his son Jesus. And if either of those choices are choices that you need to make today, then I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. Let's close with a word of prayer together. God, my hunch is that there are a lot of people sitting in these seats that know you and that know of your love for them. But maybe, if they're being honest, would admit to the fact that they don't know if they've ever really experienced it, embraced it. God, for those of us who know your love, it's really quick to start to, you know, try to replicate your love, to just to show love or to demonstrate love or to, you know, do or give or perform or achieve because we know that's what we're supposed to do. God, I pray that if there's anybody here that needs to let something be done to them for the very first time, I pray that here in these moments now or in the moments to follow today or this week, God, they would have some kind of encounter, some kind of experience where their heart is actually open to you, to experience the love, to receive the love that you have for them. God, and I pray that it might change something, that it might unlock something, and that it might provide the fuel for everything else on down the line. God, for those here today who, I don't know, maybe have never heard, maybe have never acknowledged, or maybe just have never been ready. God, for those here today, for anybody watching online who may not have ever said yes to a relationship with you, to a relationship with your son, Jesus, God, I pray that today, here and now, they might open their heart to you to receive the gift that you are longing to give to them. God, may they accept and may they receive and may they here in this place experience the love that you have for them, so that they might know you and live with you perfectly and for all time, God, but so too that the love that follows, God, would be so full in their life and their relationships with you and with other people. God, we give you thanks for a day to celebrate love and all the cute ways that we love to do that. But I pray today that you would help us to experience a love and to understand that any love that we desire to give or to enjoy in the world around us, God, it's only because you loved us first, because you are love. God, we love one another because you loved us first. And today I pray that we would receive that as the gift that it was meant to be. God, thanks for this day and for this chance we have to be together as a church, to open our hearts to you, to present so many kids to you. God, we pray that you would bless all that has taken place here. And we give you thanks so much for your son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we do pray. Amen. Hey, thank you so much for being here. If this is your first time, it is a real gift. It is a real privilege for us to have you here with us. And we just are so excited for the day together. We join together as a church to dedicate these little ones. So enjoy the rest of this day. Stay warm and be well. And we hope to see you right back here as we bring a close to this week with the fourth week in our series, Unmasked. We will see you then. God bless you.